Thank you all. It means a lot to me to know that all of you are going to be with me in many ways as I go tomorrow. And the other opportunity I have is actually to, there's a conference Monday and Tuesday that Madison Castile has put together, her and a group of girls last year called Where Are the Women? And it's about women in leadership in all different areas. And so tomorrow evening, I'm going to get to speak on a panel of other women pastors about our experiences. And then Tuesday morning, I actually get to have breakfast with other women who think they might be called to ministry. And just get to talk with them about what God might be doing in their lives. That was an important part in my college life, was when Delia Noosh Olver, who's a pastor in the Free Methodist Church, came and spoke exactly about that. And I got to sit in a small group with her and talk to her about her calling. And so I think it's a wonderful opportunity for me to get to do what someone else did for me many years ago. So I'm excited to see what God's going to do. All right, so today I have a question. Do you ever wake up in the morning and feel a little off? Maybe like something's not right, but you can't exactly put your finger on it. For many years now, every great once in a while, I have what I call my dizzy days. I will wake up and just be dizzy for no apparent reason. And I finally figured out that after trial and error, that usually if I just lay down for another half hour to an hour, for some reason, that resets it. I can get up and do a little better. Probably sinus something or other, and it doesn't happen very often. But I also think we can have days, months, and even years when our whole rhythm of life feels off. When it just doesn't feel like it's what it needs to be. And something isn't quite right, but we're not sure what to do to get it right. Right? We all have different ways of dealing with this. Some of us just ignore it and keep going. Some of us spend a lot of time trying to escape it. And you can name the different ways that people do so. Maybe we try different things to get in a good rhythm. And they're good things, right? And yet still we can't seem to find a rhythm that works for us. So I'd like to share today what I have found that works. I call it keeping in step with the Spirit. It's from Galatians 5:25. But I want to go back a little in order to get there first. So let's first talk about who we are as people, okay? Let's look at what makes us people. Now, I have this fun technology that I'm trying today. I'm going to do something here, and maybe it'll show up on the screen. Fun things. We have all these parts of us, right? And for those of you who came to the church retreat, we started having a conversation about all these parts of us, right? So we have our physical part, right? And maybe that is what we eat, whether or not we are healthy or sick. How old we are affects our physical bodies. If we have been exercising or sitting around. We also have our social part of us, whether we are feeling like we are liked or loved, what kind of friends we have and how often we see them, how connected we feel or don't feel to family. We have social things. We also have our emotional life. How we're feeling from any given moment, right? Happy or sad or angry. And how strongly we might be feeling that emotion. And then we have our intellectual life. Can we focus? Are we learning things, right? Are we spending time thinking about things? Are we using logic and step-by-step ideas? Maybe even are we doing creative things that help our brains work in different ways? Now, I think that most of us realize we have all these different parts of our lives, even if we don't think about them a lot. But I want to go one step further and think about how all of these parts fit together to make us who we are. Because many of us have a tendency to look at these different parts as just something different. We have this social part, we have this physical part of our life, we have this intellectual part of our life, and we have our emotional part, and they're all kind of separate in our minds, right? But if you stop and think about it a little bit, you might realize that they're, in fact, a lot more connected than we think. In fact, the parts of our lives are very connected. For example, let's say you stop exercising and stop eating well. How does your brain work? Maybe not quite as well as it used to, right? Or maybe you don't get enough sleep. And what happens when you don't get enough sleep? You can't think straight, so it affects your mind. But also, have you noticed when you're extra tired, you maybe aren't, your fuse is a little shorter, you get angrier quicker, you get sad, you might feel depressed over time when you're regularly not getting enough sleep. Or maybe when someone has hurt my feelings, and so my emotional state is in a certain place, then suddenly you can't focus on, say, writing a paper or writing a report for work, right? Because your brain isn't, your emotions are in charge and your brain isn't working quite the way you want to. Or maybe when you're feeling cut off from people socially, you don't even want to clean your house because you feel like it doesn't matter, right? So you're feeling cut off, which affects your emotions, and then your emotions affect your physical places, that things you do and where you live. All of those things start to go together, right? Or what about in positive ways? When I'm feeling rested, I love to read and think, because when my physical body is feeling good, again, my brain starts working the way that it's supposed to. Or when I just took a walk, I'm so happy that when I'm at the store, I start smiling to everyone around me because I've got some endorphins happening, right? And so all of a sudden, your physical is good and it affects your social life. Or when I eat healthy and then I feel good about myself and then I want to talk to others, right? So then I'm feeling good, and that affects social. All of them start being connected to one another. Or when I am with people that I really like, I get in a good mood, and I do things that I wouldn't usually do. I remember one time when we were doing an all-church cleanup day, and someone said to me, "I'm doing things at the church here cleaning that I never do at my house. But it's really fun when I'm around all the other people who are also doing the same thing," right? Because our social can affect our physical and our emotional, right? They're all connected. Or maybe when someone says something really encouraging to me, genuinely encouraging, I can then sit down and get a hard thing done at work because I'm feeling good emotionally. You see, all these different parts of us, they are connected and they affect each other. So the next question is, how do they all work together? I remember when I was first learning about how we're wired. I was a psychology major in undergrad and then did a lot of education and things in my graduate program. And as I started to read more, I realized that there is another part of us that we don't often talk about. We call it the will. Now, until that time, anytime I had heard a will talked about, I'm not sure why I heard it about this a lot, it was about strong-willed children. I'm sure it had nothing to do with me. But often when I heard someone talk about a will, it was a negative thing. Like, oh, their will is too strong. You're strong-willed, right? And we need to do something about that. But as I read more and more, I realized, wait a minute, a will can be a good or a bad thing, but it's an important part of who we are, and it has a specific job to do. The will's job is actually to figure out who to listen to and what to do about it. So, we have this will, and its job, its very specific job, is to take messages from your physical part of your body. I'm tired. I'm hungry. And to decide what to do about it. Or the social part of your life. I'm lonely. I'm feeling disconnected from my family. Those messages are all supposed to go to the will. Or an emotional message. I'm feeling happy or sad. That's supposed to go to the will. I've been reading about this. I know about this. That is a message that is supposed to be sent to the will. So the will is supposed to gather all those messages from the other part of you, and then the will has another job. It's supposed to send messages back and tell everyone what they're supposed to do. Now, here's the problem. Many of us don't really have a strong will. And instead, what we do is whatever part of us is loudest or neediest at the time, that's the part we listen to. Or maybe some of us are really organized and goal-driven people, and so we have like different goals for different parts of us, but we just kind of keep those separate. Some of us rarely think about these parts of us, and so we're just simply most influenced by things outside of us. So if a friend says, this is what I'm doing, well, then that's what I'll do too, right? And if this is what circumstances is happening to me, well, then that's how I feel based on whatever circumstance it is. But again, the job of the will is to receive these messages, but also to receive messages and then to send messages back. Things like, it's not time for anger to take over emotional part. We have other things to do. Or, I know you don't feel like moving body, but this is the time when we have to move and get something done, and it will help you feel better. Or, hey, social, I love that you like to be with everyone, but our body needs some sleep. It's time to say goodnight. That's the role of the will. Now, has anyone noticed that I'm missing an important part of who we are? And if anyone was at the retreat, there was a fifth part of us that we talked about. And James better know what it is. What is it? Spiritual, right? I haven't talked about our spiritual part yet. And there's actually a reason for that. I think our spiritual, perhaps more than other parts of our lives, we tend to separate. We tend to make its own little circle. We think that our spiritual lives are something private between us and God. And we may not even think about how it affects the other parts of our lives. But I propose to you today that the Bible does not see it in that way. In fact, I propose to you that all of who we are is actually what makes up our souls and our spiritual part. I don't freehand draw a circle as well as this one makes circles for me. But we are spiritual beings first. In Genesis, when it says that we are created in the image of God, that means all of who we are is spiritual. And the way to live a life that has a wonderful rhythm, The way to find a true rhythm of life is to surrender our whole lives to Jesus. All of it. In the words of Galatians 5:25, to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Now, one of the things we did during retreat was a drum circle. And I've participated in a few different drum circles over the years. And what we didn't have at retreat that got us in trouble, Janelle mentioned that once we all started doing a rhythm, what she noticed is that we started speeding up and we started doing the rhythm faster and faster. And that's because we were missing one important person. And that's a person at a regular drum circle. It's the person who is assigned to keep the steady beat. So at a drum circle, the person in charge would say, you have the big drum, and your job is to keep a steady beat. And then the leader would start a rhythm or a groove, and then we'd all join in. But we would all stay on a healthy, good rhythm because of the steady beat. Jesus is our steady beat. He is the center of all things. And when we surrender to his beat, when we do that, he comes into our lives in the form of the Holy Spirit, and he directs us. We take all our messages to him, and he helps us figure out who and what to listen to and what messages to send back. I'm going to try to write this here. The Holy Spirit, when we give him control, takes over our will and helps us to put everything else in rhythm. And then something really amazing can happen. Life can throw a bunch of different things at us, but we can still hear our steady beat. Circumstances can change, and we can have the sense of the steady beat inside of us. We can find it, and we can keep going. Even when life makes us flip our whole selves around, when circumstances become something we never expected, we can still keep a beat. Kind of like this guy. Do you see him there? Upside down, drumming. Even when everything else is different than it usually is, we can keep doing the rhythm of life that God has set for us. Now, lots of people draw and think about this many different ways. And in classes that I've taught, in classes that I've taken, people take, okay, this is who we are as humans, and they draw it in a lot of different ways. And if you want a fun homework assignment this week, especially if you're a visual person, take all these areas of our life that are put up there. Think about your will and your social and the spirit, and you think about how could you draw a picture of what that could look like in your life. But understanding this way of thinking about ourselves and God sets us up for something really important, and that is a challenge that we're going to be taking for Lent as we prepare for Easter. As a church, we want to go on a journey. A pilgrimage, you might call it. The definition of a pilgrimage is simply a trip that you take with your body that unites your belief, what's in your mind, your inside, with your outside. And although the journey might be spiritual, we believe that the spiritual affects every part of our life. And so when we move our body, it helps us get aligned and find a rhythm. It's about connecting our bodies and our emotions and our minds with our faith. We're going to call it a journey to Jerusalem. a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. We're putting together ways to travel the miles from Lansing to Jerusalem, and we're going to give you ways for you to travel those miles with us as a church. For example, we're going to challenge you to read a journeying book of the Bible. It's called Exodus, which means from moving from one place to another, leaving one place and going to another. And we're going to be following a theme from the book of Exodus in our sermon series. You can travel and get miles by reading with us. And we're going to also suggest other ways that you can travel with us. Ways that affect our social life and our physical life and our intellectual life and our emotional life. There's going to be lots of different opportunities to travel. But my challenge for you today and this week is this. I invite you to sit with Jesus this week and talk to him about your soul. Ask Jesus what he thinks about your physical, your social, your intellectual, your emotional parts of life. Ask Jesus what he thinks about your will. And then ask Jesus one simple question. Jesus, if I want to keep in step with you, what is my next step? What do you want me to do next? Because I'm going to tell you a secret. For years, I have been practicing this one next step way of life, and it's crazy it works. When I try to do everything, when I try to handle all those areas of my life, I get frustrated and I give up. When I try to analyze what's wrong in all those different areas of my life, I get discouraged because there's always something more to work on. When I choose what I want to do, that tends to change at least every day, if not every hour or different every minute. And when I listen to others, I just get confused. But when I sit with Jesus and I get his one thing, a crazy beautiful thing happens. It doesn't usually make mathematical sense. It often doesn't even make logical sense, but it makes spiritual sense. When I do the one thing Jesus asked me to do, other things seem to fall into place. I start to experience more peace, even if things around me are more crazy. Things start to happen that take care of other things in my life, even if I am not doing anything directly about that. Sometimes problems or situations that I thought for sure I needed to do something about take care of themselves. Now, don't hear me wrong. Everything is not magically perfect. Often it's just something inside of me shifts. And I hear the steady beat of Jesus, and I can walk forward one step at a time. I feel the rhythm. It's funny, those words are in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7, 9, and 10. Paul says, we talk about God's wisdom, which has been hidden as a secret. God determined his wisdom in advance before time began for our glory. God has prepared things for those who love him that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, or that haven't crossed the mind of any human being. And God has revealed these things through his Spirit. My challenge is, sit with Jesus and ask what your next step is. Try it for a week. And then ask for the courage to take that step. It changed my life. Maybe it'll change yours too. We're going to respond with this through prayer and then through communion. But let's stop for a moment and pray. Lord, I ask for you to speak to us this week. I ask that for every person who genuinely comes to you with open heart and open hands, that they would somehow hear and know what their next step is. And I pray, Lord, that you would give all of us the courage to just try it, to just do what you asked us to do and watch how you work. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take communion now. And what is communion? It's simply a physical symbol of a spiritual truth, right? God understood and understands that we are physical and social and intellectual and emotional people. And communion is actually all of those things, right? When you understand it, it's a mental sort of thing. We do it together. It's social. It speaks to the spiritual truth of God forgiving our sins. And it's a physical thing that we eat and drink. Jesus didn't just teach us some nice things to believe. He physically took the consequences for our sin. He died so that we might live. The physical and spiritual don't get much more connected than that. He came to this earth and experienced in a body and mind all of what it meant to be human. He lived in a family and was loved. He was also betrayed by friends. He cried, he laughed, he experienced anger. He fully lived life, and he knows what it is to live in your shoes. And then he loved us to the very end, enough to physically suffer and die. He opened up a new way for us to be in relationship and communication with God. You are invited this morning to come. If you're willing to just say to Jesus, "My life is yours, what do you have for me next?" Then you can come and receive. If you don't feel like you're physically able, we come forward to take communion. And if that is a little hard for you, then just stay in your seat and let an usher know. Pastor Mike will actually come back and bring it to you. Pastor Sue is going to join me up at the front, and we'll dismiss you. You can come and make two rows to come here today. If you are not ready to receive the symbol of Jesus' body and blood, but you do want to come because you are seeking, you're also invited to come and simply cross your hands over, and I'll just say a quick prayer of blessing over you. And I'll ask that Jesus helps you know what your next step is too. All are invited to come and meet and hear from Jesus. When you're ready to receive whatever Jesus has for you,